from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a podcaster who's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff, who's here to be your boyfriend, your boar bay, your boar bud. I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep and to make the deep, dark night a little bit less lonely. I'm here to help. We do it in a very silly way. You know, we'll do a long meandering intro coming up and then a bedtime story later on. This particular bedtime story is part of our new series. It'll be friends playing mini golf together or something like that. So I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the show. If you're new, few things to know. This show is a little bit different, so give it a few tries. That's just what most regular listeners say. But I'm so glad you checked this podcast out. It's here to be your companion as you fall asleep and take your mind off of stuff. Structurally, what to expect. We've got support coming up next. And that way, you know, paying for the show is optional. If you prefer ad-free experience, you can sign up for Sleep With Me Plus. Or if you want to join our referral program, you could earn free ad-free episodes. But most people like listening to the ads and just listen to the show in order. So see what works for you if you're new. Then after that is a long meandering intro. That's meant to ease you into bedtime. Like it doesn't so much put you to sleep, but I'll inefficiently talk about how the podcast works for about 20 minutes. As you get ready for bed and you start to wind down, then there'll be some support and then our bedtime story. But just see how it goes. You got nothing to lose. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep by keeping you company. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it. I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you here. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. Yeah, this part of the podcast is a little bit higher energy than the rest of the show, because these are the people who keep the show free for everybody. I would love to be saying your name here. If you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it so I could thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. We haven't heard from anybody in a little while, but I wanted to thank some people who took the time to support the show and to write up some testimonials about why they support the show on Sleep With Me Plus. So I want to thank Jerry. Jerry said, I realize all the work that goes into something that always allows me to feel more rested and less stress. And Jerry said, hey, if you're thinking about supporting the show, you're not going to regret giving a little each month for even just one night of sleep, right? So thank you, Jerry, for supporting the show. Everybody else out there that supports the show directly or supports the sponsor, responses. We couldn't do it without you. That's why we have the Sleepy Supporter Zone. If you want to be like Jerry, support the show, or you support a sponsor, fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thank you, Jerry. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, there's links to resources in our show notes, including international resources you could connect with right now. It's also about being a part of positive change with our actions, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying support Ukraine, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying all these things, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources we could do that in the show notes. And you could join us. The things we're supporting right now, Sleep With Me directly, me personally, is the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. It's a shelter that's there to help people experiencing homelessness. We're supporting the Trevor Project. You can support the Trevor Project directly as well. And we're supporting Hand in Hand. You know, I first heard about Hand in Hand from RGB, and I've been supporting it. And right now is an important time to support an organization looking to move forward. Hand in Hand is Israel's fastest growing integrated social movement. Their work reaches thousands of people every day, proving we can live together as Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Palestinians. And while there's a lot of different ways to support whatever's hurting your heart right now, Hand in Hand is one of those. And that's the one we've been supporting. And you could learn more about the Midnight Mission, Hand in Hand, or the Trevor Project and support any of those organizations or support whatever works for you. But you can see those links right in our show notes. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, if you want a free way, you say, well, I love the ad-supported show, Scoots, but I prefer something without the supporter zone or without that stuff. If you can't afford to support the show directly, you could sign up for our referral program for free, refer people to the free podcast, and get access to ad-free episodes and story-only episodes. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. That's refer. sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. You know, whether that's, you know, thoughts, you know, things on your mind, thoughts you're thinking about, thoughts about the past, the present, the future, you know, thinking thoughts, thinking thoughtful thoughts is something I've heard before. Oh no, I was thinking of thankful thoughts, but I said thoughtful thoughts. And I think, you know, gratitude is a huge thing. Probably not gratitude. Probably like before I get in bed. And honestly, that's true. Though sometimes I do have some gratitude when I'm getting snuggled in. If my bed was made, then I don't have gratitude when my sheets are misaligned. What's my point there? I don't know. No pressure to have gratitude, though, Sleep With Me. It could be thoughts that are keeping you awake. It could be feelings, any emotions that are coming up for you. Maybe they're related to the thoughts. Maybe they're there. It could be changes in time, temperature, or routine. You know, you could have something coming up. You could be going through something, maybe work a different work schedule. Maybe you're traveling or having visitors or something else is going on. Whatever it is, the only reason I take some time to run through a few things is to let you know you're not alone and that whatever is keeping you awake is important to the people who listen to this show. And the reason it's important to everybody that listens to this show is because we've been through something similar. We might not have been, I can only speak for myself, I guess. I might have not have been through the same thing that's keeping you awake, but I can guess I can probably relate to how it feels. And even if I can't, I can guarantee you there's someone listening right now somewhere in the world who is leaning in and nodding their head because they do know how you feel. They have been through something very similar and they want you to get some sleep and they know how it feels. So I don't know if that can offer you any relief at all. Sometimes it helps me. Sometimes it doesn't help me to know you're not alone with this. And I realize this is ones and zeros, you know, coming across a, like whatever, through a thing, like whatever, a copper, you know, fiber or whatever. But I just wanted to let you know that. And also that you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime where you could get some rest. You deserve a bedtime without rigmarole, a bedtime you could feel neutral about or look forward to, like that you don't have to dread. And the rest you need so your life is more manageable. And ideally, you start getting the rest you need on a regular basis so you could be out there flourishing. And that means our world's a better place. And that is important to me because I've been on the other side of it. And even now, I have a nice regular bedtime routine. And that only works for me most of the time. So I know how it feels and I hope I can be part of your bedtime or introduce you to something that can help you. Because if you don't like me or the show, there is other sleep podcasts out there that you can check out at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. But this show does take a couple tries to get used to. It's free, so you got nothing to lose. And it's just that most people who are regular listeners of the show say that it took 2 or 3 tries. Some people say it took 2 or 3 tries over 3 or 4 or 5 years, like where they listened once, loathed me. And this is not a joke. Like I've gotten probably 75 emails that have said this in different ways. I listened to the show back in whatever, 2015, and I did not like you at all. And then, somebody mentioned in 2017, I rolled my eyes. But then in 2019, I was dealing with this and this, and I said, let me try that show again. And then I realized, oh, this podcast, it is a podcast that never gets, now I realize what's not going on. Everything is not going on with your show. It was what I was looking for, but that's not the case for everybody. That's why I have sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou set up, but give it a few tries and see how it goes, just because I want to help. And I hope that this can be the podcast for you that does become a part of your bedtime routine. But let's just see how it goes at first, huh? How's that sound? What else do you need to know here? The way the show works is I send my voice across to the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, which just means I get mixed up, then I go off topic, then I, like, double back, and then I say, wait, what was I talking about? And then I said, well, okay, I don't know. So what's my point? I'm petering out already. But, I don't know that was not a superfluous tangent or a pointless meander. More as like, a bit of a bogged down brain. But so... those are some of the methods. My voice is not traditionally soothing, and I tend to go off topic, get mixed up, even live right now. But that's kind of part of the show. And the thing is, this is a podcast that you just barely listen to. It kind of plays like background noise, it's for some people, like, or out of focus picture. You could just kind of barely listen to it. You can listen. I'm here doing the show. But some people listen to me at a mumble, and some people listen to me and or they're not paying attention. I guess that's the easiest way to do it, is just barely pay, just like my Nana says, oh, don't pay him any mind. That's not my Nana's voice. Oh, don't pay. She calls me the not bad boy. Oh, he's not bad. No, he's not bad at all. Not, you know, like, he's not a bad boy. He's the not bad boy. I say, Nana, stop. No, you're not a bad boy. Like, it makes a bullet. When you're called the not bad boy, it makes you not a bad boy, too. Though, in some sense, she's the same person who, you know, says I'm a bad boy, but just not in the cool way. So she's got all those areas covered. Talk about a Venn diagram I wish I wasn't a part of. Bad boy, that's not part of the Venn diagram. Not a bad boy. Not bad boy. And then bad boy, but bad boy in parentheses, that's not a bad boy. Like the kind of person when your Nana calls you a bad boy, you know, it means something totally different. It means I haven't succeeded in being the not bad boy. Again, these are chapters in a future autobiography. What was I even talking? I mean, my Nana hasn't made an appearance. Oh, no, but that's one of her. Oh, don't pay him any mind. Oh, there. Or she says, oh, there he goes again. And I, like, so this is like, also my Nana is imaginary and lives in my mind, which a lot of people would say, well, that's a bonus if she's only imaginary. And I'd say, no, she's like pre-archetypal or something. I don't even know how she got. I mean, I know how she got there. She's an amalgamation, but that gives her more power, actually, because she's not in she's part of my history without being a part of my history. And she would say it's my herstory because I'm, you know, running the show. Anyway, so pointless meander, superfluous tangents, all to keep you company. Oh, you don't really listen to me. Like a lot of people like I said, you just barely pay attention. You say, uh-huh, oh, yes, Scoots, I'm totally listening to you. Uh-huh. Not bad at all. Nope, not bad at all. Not bad at all. So that could be how you kind of passively, actively listen to the show. Also, I've been making the show over 10 years now, over 1,200 episodes. Came up with this idea based on, you know, what didn't help me fall asleep. And I said, how come there's not something like a goofy friend in the deep, dark night? Because even though this is a sleep podcast, it doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. There is no pressure to fall asleep with the show. That's why the show is over an hour. That's why every episode is different. That's why we work so hard on these podcasts, because there's no pressure to fall asleep. You don't need to fall asleep, but maybe that means you will. But if you can't, I'm here to the very end, because I do know there's people listening who cannot sleep at all. And I do know there's people listening who need a break during the day, or who are doing some other type of work where they like some sort of background noise they could barely listen to. Believe it or not, these are roles I'm honored to be a part of, because I'm really here to keep you company and take your mind off stuff, distract you, or take you outside of yourself and be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar bud, your boar bee, your boars, your boar, your boarfriend, your boar, boar cuz, boar sib, boar, boar bruh, and just keep you company. Just like if you were to call me in the past, Nana's never said that to me, but I'm sure she could say, like, if you're not bad boy, you're going to get a lot of call me maybe. You wouldn't even get a call me maybe, actually. Because that's kind of flirty, I guess. I didn't realize that till just a second. Or maybe I did. That's why they say, oh, that's totally, like, if you're a not bad boy, that's, oh, no, totally, that's my number. Or phone, oh, no, I don't have, like, no thanks. That's usually what you get when you're a not bad boy. Yeah, no, I'm good. No, thank you. And then since you're a not bad boy, you just say, yep, no, okay, I get it. It's fine. Huh, so bad boys are the ones that get call me maybe, because it's like, they're saying, like, here's my number, call me. Or if you're calling maybe, like if you have maybe's phone number, well, then it would be a note that would say, phone number, call me, maybe. That would be confusing. I wonder if Laurel and Hardy ever did that one. Okay. Laurel and Hardy were a comedy duo. Maybe it was, no, it was Abbott and Costello. I don't know my Laurel and Hardy from my Abbott and Costello. Anyway, those were comedy duos based on this is a pointless meander. Well, based on miscommunication. Okay. Where were we? Oh, boyfriend, Borbe, I'm here to keep you company. Structure the show. In addition to like that, most people don't like to podcast when they first get here, that it doesn't work on the first few tries, that I'm an acquired taste. Those are some of the obstacles to listenership, which is kind of, it does take some tries to get used to. But there's other ones too. Let me give you even more good news. Other than my dynamic personality, which you'd say he's not bad. I mean, I'm not in a hurry to pay attention. That's why the show works, because I'm not bad. You say, yeah, you're not bad. You're not bad at all. But the structure of the show can also throw people off. And there's a lot of ways to adjust the podcast. It's just how we structured the show to benefit the most amount of people possible. But then if the way we structured it doesn't work for you, as you become a regular listener, you can kind of change how you listen. But the majority of people like listening to this free ad-supported podcast linearly. But it's just but it's very adjustable. But let me just explain it to you so you kind of get a sense. And then you say, oh, okay, as I become a regular listener, that's what I'll. But a lot of you are like, yeah, no, this is how I like listening to the show. I like just passively kicking back and consuming the podcast. But so the show starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That makes you feel seen and welcomed, ideally. And you say, okay, I might listen to this podcast. Or for a regular listener, that's what I say at the beginning is different every time after friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So it has something familiar and something new. So you feel welcomed in every time in a new way. I mean, except when I forget that I made a bad joke and then I make it again. You know, my humor can be repetitive, but it's new every time. Then there's support, so that paying for the podcast is optional. So if you prefer an ad-free experience, you could refer people to the show, sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer, or sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Or just listen linearly and the people that support the sponsors keep the show going for everybody else. Then there's the intro, and that's a long, meandering intro. And about 2% of people fall asleep during the intro, and 2% of people skip the intro. But the intro is meant to ease you into bedtime, to be a transition period, not to put you to sleep, even though it could put you to sleep. For most people, they're winding down, and that's just what works for me personally. What's like research has said works for most people is having a wind down. And so the intro is kind of like a 15-minute wind down. You could be getting ready for bed or relaxing. You could be in bed getting comfortable or doing a chill activity. But the intro is also different every time, so that you can't, like, just like at the beginning, like, so you say, oh, okay, Scoots is following a familiar structure, but he's going off on a different tangent than last time. Okay, then there's support, then there'll be our bedtime story, which is our premiere episode of our episodically modular series, tentatively called Multiplex. And then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show, it's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. We work really hard on this podcast. We all yearn and strive. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area, not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Hey. All right, hey, everybody. It's Scoots here, and this is our new series, tentatively called Multiplex, and we already have it. Sure to already have show art when it comes out. So this is the pilot episode. It's going to be an episodically modular series. You could listen to this one first, but if you're listening to this and you already listened to some episodes, this is the backstory episode or the setup episode. And this episode is just some friends playing mini golf or kind of a reminiscence of that. And it hopefully will set up the rest of the story where you'll get to know the main character. And you'll go from there, but like everything with Sleep With Me, it is a process of discovery and meandering, so you could listen. So without further ado, here's our Hollywood, I don't bid you adieu, but man, it feels like there's some dew on my back when I see you. It's our Hollywood announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. The friends beyond the binary, the ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, it's time. To Multiplex. Yeah. Scooter, I'm excited for this new series. Are you also excited to play Sushi Go if you can remain steel jaw, if you could keep your steel jaw from, whatever that sound is when your jaw, I don't know. It creates some sort of sound. It sounds like a bit like when you put it, when you used to put a quarter in an arcade machine, like, I don't know. And it's not even like you're moving. It just comes off of your jaw or your, whatever, your face. Your face, I mean, you're very, like, some people are somatic. You're auto, like, they don't call it automatic because that's something else, but audible, at, all of audible, you know what I mean? Like, your body makes sounds. But Scooter, you can only hear them in your soul. Yeah, I mean, I do hear your jaw making some sort of charging magic sound on a spiritual level, I guess, or some sort of, you know, if there's the force. I don't know. What were those? Were those mitochondria? Like my are those the ones that swim around? Because they're swimming around. Holy cow. When you're, so anyway, welcome everybody to Multiplex. How you doing, everybody? You know, there's a lot of stories about, you know, like heroic tales where the main character, you know, overcomes all the odds. There's a rising conflict, and that brings out, you know, reveals true character, or brings out the best. Or, you know, the character sets forth, a stranger comes to town, or somebody goes on a journey, whatever they say. And that leads them, you know, through a series of missteps and rising action. They find something deep inside, or they're connected to a source, or they make a discovery. Along the way, they collect whatever on the journey, you know, denouement and meeting with the inmost cave, gratitude for the mother, you know, whatever, you know, detachment from the father. All those things happen in many, many tales. Most stories have that kind of thing. Stories of untapped potential that eventually gets tapped, or a well that, you know, they go in, maybe they swim around in there, and maybe there's mirrors on the walls, and then they see something, and then they say, okay, maybe they're lost, they've journeyed into the deep dark woods, unsure of who they are, only discover whatever, the yellow brick road, and they follow it, and then they, you know, and then they go into the next place, and then they realize that, you know, they like they, you know, they said, then they make friends with Glinda, and then they discover that the ruby slippers, and then they fall in love with Fiero. Those are tales and stories headed down a path of eventually discovering, and eventually a lot of times to some level of greatness or goodness or sharing it with the world. But this isn't one of those stories. You know, and I don't know a lot of tales that are like this one. If there's tales like this one, they're mostly forgotten or passed over or unheard. You know, you stop paying attention. Maybe that's what you'll do here. That's okay. That's why I'm here. But the thing is, this is one of those long and winding tales, and it has adventure in it. It has challenge. It has potential. It has true character. It has heroines and heroes. But somehow this story is a story not of peaks, not of greatness or full potential, but a more mild, so this story doesn't end in that place. It ends in a more middle place, where people that were on a path to greatness saw a fork in the road and took the other path. But at first they had to learn how to take that path. So they went on a series of adventures, and I guess because I was a part of it, that's the thing, I'm looking back now. Some of this may be misremembering, but this I remember. Instead of a path towards greatness, a path not less than great, and I don't want to say average or well, I guess basic maybe, to be like, how does one learn to become a person among persons, right? That's what people would mistakenly call normal or average or basic. I don't know if moderate's the right word. I don't know if there's a way to glamorize stepping into the background. But stepping into the background is a choice, is a heroic choice. But no one, the thing about these stories is, and I guess they lay them out, no one just knows how to do that. We only know what we know how to do. And this is a story about learning how to do things a different way. So this is, my name's Wyatt. Nice to meet you. I'm recording this tale of not so greatness. And looking back on it, and it was a long time ago. And this tale starts with, some friends, myself and my two best friends, and a friendly competition, and as a matter of fact, I'll just tell you right now, an imaginary stakes at a game of mini golf, inspired by a movie about caddies, a comedy, where the winner, in this case, I'll give you more details soon, would get all the money they need to pay for their schooling. And some of you might not know why I'm making this, so I wanted to give you the context. I'm not just looking back. You know, some people recently, I used to do this show on something called Public Access. And recently, because of the internet and things, my interviews have gone and gotten a newfound popularity. And it's kind of propelled me into a place I hadn't been in a long time, actually since the beginning of this story started, with people calling me creative and how creative my interviews were. Because I would do interviews and we would stream old movies, and some of the characters I interviewed, people praised the writing and the makeup and the design and the stories I would tell in between segments of what I knew. But I just want to say that, like, set the record straight, that none of that was creative at all. Those interviews were real, and in some of them were TV celebrities to people, characters like Herman or Eddie, Elvira, Grandpa, you know, Marilyn, I think. Man, my things escape me, but I mean, those were real in a sense too. So none of it came from my imagination, and I guess that's why I feel like I got to tell this story. But I don't know, maybe this is the right time to tell a story of not greatness and not achievement, not creative. I guess not's the wrong way to describe it too, but it's so hard to put it into words. And a lot of this is, you know, from my memory as well, and in my childish memory or my teenage memory. So maybe I'm seeing it creatively, or maybe I saw it differently then. And it all started with a kind of quest for first place. Not an unfamiliar place for any of the three of us that were playing mini golf that day. Or four, if you count the presence of my sister looming over us. But we were playing there at Fair Glen Mini Golf. You can't say the other term, which again I'll talk about in a bit. It was mini golf at Fair Glen. And it was me, Wyatt. I don't know if I said hi. My name's Wyatt. It's nice to meet you. Santos and Josie were with me. And by the end of the day, just turning to dusk, you know, they were there cheering me on. We had made a bet. The bet was imaginary. That was creative, but not super creative because we took it from a movie. And they were trying to cheer me up. I didn't realize that that little bit of imagination was going to set us forth on a course where our lives would be changed for the better. So we were playing mini golf. This was kind of a tradition of ours and a tradition of my family's. This was not that far from where we all lived. It was a locally owned mini golf place in a glen that was fair. And while Josie was kind of the one with the most physical skills of our group, the athlete, mini golf was my game, though Josie and San were really good too. I mean, we had been playing this course since middle school, you know, through acne and first dates and breakups and not going to dances or worrying about dances. Even our first drinks, sneaking in and getting caught when San's mom moved on to the big farm. This course was kind of there through it all for us. It's been mostly the same. I mean, 2 years ago, they painted everything and put new turf down. And right now it's springtime, or just the dawn of spring. And the last time we'd played, it was the end of autumn. The leaves were covered in dry leaves. The greens were covered in dry leaves. The air was just starting to bite at the skin. And the last time we played, I was one short of the course record. And my friends were there, and they were right behind me. I mean, we had so many times we had come too short, all of us, too short of the course record. Two strokes, if you don't play golf or mini golf. How do I explain this? Each hole has a par, which means, hey, if you play pretty decent, you'll get the ball in the hole in three strokes. And let's just pretend that each hole is three strokes. So that's 18 times three. That would be par. Though there are harder holes that were higher par and maybe one or two holes that were lower. We didn't worry about par. We worried about the course record and the things that came with the course record, which I was familiar with. But the feeling that came from the course record, or in this case, the feeling of just momentarily forgetting what I was upset about and playing with friends. And we were having a lot of fun. You know, we had that kind of friendship where we could push each other, but we were still loose. We could give each other a hard time and ride the tension. We were able to have real feelings or real irritation and get through that. It was a special friendship. So I'll just jump ahead to hole 10. Most golf courses and mini golf courses, believe it or not, I've never played a hole of golf in my life. I slept on a golf course once, you know, but that was in a different time. I fell asleep there. But so most golf courses have 18 holes, I think. But we're going to jump ahead to what they call the back nine, hole 10. Now, hole 10 is one of those legendary holes or familiar holes if you've ever played mini golf. And hole 10 also played into a lot of my skills. I had the ability to not let the tension wash over me, but to take the tension most of the time, particularly in mini golf, but in a lot of other arenas up until recently, to let the tension kind of flow through me, like an iron rod that's vibrating. I didn't overthink it. I didn't stay too much in my thoughts or my feelings when it came to this stuff. I was lucky. I mean, I was mostly lucky up until this point because my scholarship essay was the time. We'll talk about that another time. So for hole 10, it was a par 3. For me, it was an easy one, and that's not bragging. It's just over the course of time, especially as high school and beyond, I guess not beyond because we never played it again, but it's always been something I could get a hole in one in on a reliable basis. But even though it was a par 3, that was more of a cursory, I don't know, because for most people, if it wasn't a 1 or a 2, it was going to be a 4 or more. And depending on course rules or mulligans or retries or whatever unofficial rules you might use with your party. You know, the course rule was the most you could get was a six. It was easy to get a six on this hole. And this was kind of one of those holes that you just had to let wash over you too, because it could be an all or nothing one. And even for me, I had to pay attention and not let my experience become some kind of smarmy overconfidence, especially where we were at in this situation where I was going for it, because I did need a one on this hole. Like, I had to have my confidence, and again, confidence well-established through experience outside of mini golf, ease me into some focus and kind of surround my body in a jelly where I was unaware of it or something. And if you don't play a lot of mini golf, or this is your first time playing, you might look at this hole and think it was easy. And if you played mini golf once a summer or every couple of years, you might forget about this hole and look back on it and say, okay, this is not going to be a problem. You forget that this is the hole where you went from course record or being on par or leading your friends to falling behind. And it was simply a designed hole, nothing too fancy, but a one you see a lot. It's just a long rolling, well, not rolling hill, like a long steep hill with a brief kind of hump that just flattens out for a moment and then has a drop off, like a carved out part, a U, and then keeps going and rolls back down. I don't know if you could see that. So it rolls up and rolls down at the same angle. But right at the peak, there's a little trough, you'd say. To start off with, if you hit it too hard, you try to get it up the hill and you hit it too hard, the ball could keep going into the air, you know. Now, if you hit it just too hard to go into that crevice or whatever, it would just roll back down. And you might be able to have a chance at a one, depending on the random bounce of the ball. But more than likely, you could have a two, because the hole was off to the right, around a little bit of a corner. But again, if you hit it way too hard, you could end up in the actual glen of a fair glen, which was a stream that ran through the entire course and split it in half. But if you hit it just right, it would drop into that crevice or gouge or whatever I called it earlier, and it would roll down, it would drop, and ideally, it would roll right into the hole. And that happened about, for me, 95, 96, 97% of the time. But even if it didn't go in the hole, it was going to be an easy tap in the hole. But what was common for most people, and a lot of people had a, you know, one retry on the front nine and one retry on the back nine, was you didn't hit it hard enough up the hill. And then the ball would roll back down. Then you might hit it again and hit it too hard and go off the course. But more than likely, you wouldn't hit it hard enough again and it would roll back down. And this would create all sorts of debates among parties, or would forbid if you were on a double date with non-mini golfers, you may have been trying to impress among your friends or family members or extended family members. Your ball goes up, it comes back down. What happens then? What are the rules? What are the rules you decide? Really a lot of interpersonal dynamics. That's why the three of us like to play with the three of us. And I believe it or not, as much as we played mini golf here at Fair Glen, we didn't play very much outside of Fair Glen. So I don't know if there even is an international body of mini golf. But this was a hole where I could be funny and say, this is where the hole where things start to really roll my way. Because I knew I could get a one, or worst case, a two. And if you ask me what's the secret, as many people had, I'd say I have no idea. I just hit it. I know in some sense the doubt is gone from my mind, but I just hit it the way it feels right, and it kind of works out. Now, this doesn't go for every hole. For my sister, that might have been the case. And for me this time, thus far, it had been the case. But those were special moments, like people that bowl a 300 or whatever. So I have to leave it without explanation other than, like, I just know how to hit it. I don't know how to teach it. But that's kind of like how my essay went for my scholarship, which was about my feelings about this and how you would explain. And talking about now and in the future. Oh, man. Okay, so back to the hole. So I did get a hole in one, and that put me back on the course record. I was one under the course record, which I was pretty confident I could maintain for the rest of the course, or maybe even improve on. Josie made it up and back down and got a two. And San didn't get, it was a max for San, six. Next up was hole 11. And again, if you play mini golf, this was a barn, a bridge to a barn. I think it was what the hole is called. You go off, you go over a bridge that's about half a foot wide into a barn door. Now, again, not actually what it seems. It seems pretty simple, right? You just get in the barn door. I needed a two on this one to stay on the course record. And it seems simple, right? Go across the bridge, get in the barn door, go in a hole. But no, of course not. Like, inside the barn door isn't one hole, it's two holes. There's a hole in front and a hole behind that. But the holes and the hole inside of the barn is made of cement and concrete. So one thing you had to do is make sure you hit it again hard enough, but not too hard, so it bounced out of the barn. You also had to make sure you hit it over the bridge. Now, if you made it in the second hole, it would be a hole in one. If you made it in the first hole, probably a two, but there wasn't a lot of ways to control. Somehow, this was just like the last hole for my sister. She could get a hole in one in this every time. Like, somehow she could control the bounce of the cement, but we'd never been able to replicate this. It always just seemed like it's not skill, other than getting into the barn at the right speed, where luck of the bounce. Because we've tried English, we've tried all sorts of things, like fate. Like when my sister hit it, it would just go clop, clop, drop. But for most people, it would go clop, clop, you know, clippity, cloppity, cloppity, ploppity, plop. And in this case, it didn't go clop, clop, drop, but it did drop a hole in one. And that was a breath of air for me, because it meant I had even more wiggle room. I wasn't falling behind. The next up is hole 11. I at this point, I forgot what, like San and, I don't know what San and Josie got on that hole. But hole 11 is a par three, and it's one of those undulating hill holes. This one I needed a two on. And I was pretty confident I could play it safe and just hit it over the rolling hills, not try to get a hole in one, try to get a two, which I did. Hit a good first ball, bounced off the back, the backstop, and looked like I would easily have a second putt into the hole. Now, this is where I wish I hadn't gone first, just because this was San's hole, and I didn't want my ball to get bounced further away. But San wasn't up till third, and then Josie went. And Josie kind of got in the ballpark of a two, but definitely not a one. Now, this is San's hole. Like, it could get, I don't know, like, again, like where you use the hills somehow. I don't know. You know, everybody's just got their thing. But San and I had been friends for about 3 years with Josie. San had moved to town. They were new to school. They'd moved from like somewhere far, far away, Montana or Utah, like someplace that felt like it was covered in tundra or dried up salt lakes and stuff. I'm kidding. They were from Idaho, land of the Spuds. And the rumor was, and this isn't a true rumor, but it was a rumor that preceded Santa's arrival, was that Santa had been recruited by our school and our school district to raise the scores of the entire school and school district test scores, which for most of us is, you know, obviously not statistically possible. Though, I mean, Santa had to have some influence. Also, the Santos was in Mensa and was a certified genius. So these things, this is not the kind of high school freshman experience you want, right? To have the pump primed that way. So it would have meant that Santa was in for a world of non-positive high school experience. You know, having to deal with the different cliques and their impressions and their expectations, but not to us. I mean, the idea of having a friend who could raise the test scores of the school, of having a certified genius, you know, we had read The Big Brain, Fancy Nancy, Junie B. Jones, Encyclopedia Brown, you know, these are the books we read as kids. So having someone like that as your friend, who's also incredibly interesting, and again, just like the rest of us, different in a good way. This was not an opportunity for us to pass up. And at this point, Josie and I had gone to middle school at the same school, so we were in a kind of good position to make the tastes of how a new student would be treated. So when the Santos package arrived at school, you know, now it turns out that Santos wasn't in Mensa, but it didn't matter. It was one of those friendships that's blossomed and blossomed and blossomed. But San does have moods that undulate like those hills with their ups and their downs. And so you kind of have to hang and roll with those ups and downs, which could be a lot for a lot of people. But again, not for us. It kind of made it more exciting, right? And we didn't really need other kids' approval of who we were going to be friends with. This is, again, another place where we were really lucky. You know, Josie and I were both younger siblings. So we'd learn from our older siblings what was going to be important. And the idea that most kids didn't have of, what is that called? Abundance. You could be friends with everybody, you know, and if some, you know, and you could also say, no, I don't, you know, if you're not nice, I don't need to hang out with you. So again, San was someone that we were really interested in, and they were interested, and they had big ideas and big plans. And so San was, anyway, so I got a 2 on that hole. San got a 1. Josie, I don't know, 2, 3. We move on to hole 12, the pinball hole. You may have seen it made of wood, not a pinball machine. Some people called it the Plinko hole. Now, this is another hole. If you wanted to get a hole in one, you needed to be really lucky, because in the middle of the fake pinball machine were 2 Vs with holes. You had to go up a narrow alley and, again, hit the ball hard enough. Now, this one, you could hit it really hard, but then it would definitely always go to the bottom, where you could easily get a 2, maybe a 3. If somehow you got it in one of those 2 middle holes, you would have a hole in one, but it was really hard. And I was playing it safe, so I just went to make sure I got a 2. Maybe if it fell in, I would get a 1, which I did not. And we all got 2s. Hole number 13. We don't say the other one. We just say hole 13, loop-de-loop. It's a tin loop. You've seen it before. And it's one of those ones that defies, especially the smaller you are, can defy what your mind. But for me, it's the sound. When you hit it right, the ball makes this tin hollow rolling sound, this rumble. And that, if you heard it, that metallic, well, if you hear a metallic ping, 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 you're in trouble. Or plunk or a clomp. But that hollow roll, you would roll for a two most of the time, maybe a one. So all you had to do is hit it so the ball wasn't bouncing and had enough speed and momentum to defy, even when we were doing it, even as seniors in high school, did the ball just really go upside down? Defying physics. And the loop was nice and wide, not like a matchbox car or a roller coaster. Kind of like keeping water in a bucket or something. Now, Josie usually had a best, the best shot at getting a one at this hole. And maybe, I don't know, like maybe it's the defying gravity thing. Maybe it's just my memory and associating, you know, Josie with different things, you know, because Josie was, well, at our school, it turns out when you go to move up, this isn't the case, but Josie did feel a lot of track and field, the field parts, triple jump, pole vaults, high jump. Some reason Josie's skills did not translate to, it's like, how can you do, we used to, how can you do a triple jump but not do the long jump? But again, not everything translates. But in college, I guess you do, you normally do, well, if you're getting a full scholarship like Josie did, you're going to specialize in just one thing. In this case, it was the pole vaults. I don't know if college recruiters ever look at your putt-putt game or how they, that's what I was curious about. Like, how do you go? If Josie gets first place in all of those things, at least in our, you know, school leagues, how do you see the more potential in the pole vault versus the triple jump or the high jump? But I guess that's a college recruiter's job and not mine. I mean, even the Olympics were going to be a possibility. And I don't know if you're hearing the thread yet, but the three of us, we're all full of potential and full of people that believed we had potential. Incredible potential was how we were treated. But also, like, that was layered with high expectations internally and externally. Now, this next hole was... had low expectations for all of us, you know, for kids and parents and tourists. This was kind of one of more of those boring holes. Or for us, that was not the case. And again, this was another hole that my sister specialized in, which was the a simple dog leg hole all the way down, bounce it off this one wall at the right angle, all the way down the other way, bounce it off another, so I guess a double. So the second dog leg was very, very short. So you had to hit it twice. You had to hit it with the right amount of speed, and you had to hit the right angles. Again, somehow my sister could continually get a hole in one on this one. I don't know. I mean, I think it was, I never seen my sister play pool before, but I can imagine this is like shooting pool or snooker. But it's hard to replicate with a putt-putt, like a putter from a mini golf, you know. Now, the other difficulty with this hole was that this one was one of the few holes that was constantly in and out of the sun and had a bunch of trees around it. And also some gravel nearby because of a path closer to the glen or the creek. So, and our rule was you played the hole as is, as my sister did too. And so if there was leaves or pebbles, I mean, a giant rock or something, but anything, you know, play it as is. It made it more fun. And again, it was just a rule. Or the tradition. So this was one of those holes that could be really difficult to maintain consistency on with the elements and the warping because of the sun. So even a two could be tough sometimes if you lost your nerve or you hit a pebble. But to my sister, I don't know. It was like she was immune to even the outside elements, or somehow her brain was calculating each pebble and each leaf and how they would affect the ball's roll. And this is why she had maintained this course record for so long. But in this case for me, it didn't look great. My first ball, it made it where I had sight of the hole for a two, but that somehow it ended up behind a pebble. And that made me, I had to get a three on that one. And what that meant is now I lost one of my free strokes. Not sure what you might be asking about my sister a little bit more. You know, her and my parents had played Fair Glen before I was even a twinkle in anybody's eye or an irritant in my sister's presence. And I guess there's pictures of me in a stroller there. And then eventually as a, you know, annoying toddler getting in the way. And then finally, now they would only go once a year because, you know, it's not expensive or inexpensive to play mini golf, but they would go every year. And eventually I started toddling around and playing. But at that point, and actually so a lot of times my sister would ask if I could be left home with a sitter, which was my cousin Brenda. And Brenda watched me until, like, the Easy Bake Oven instant. So then I got to start going again. But by that point, my sister had become a regular. She worked there. And then she quit. And then that's when she started to get the course records. And my sister got better and better and better. And she started to get known around town as the putt prodigy, they called it. But then the company that owned the rights to use that name, Putt, they said, you could be the putt-putt prodigy for us. But my sister did not like to play. She said, those ones are too technical. They lack soul and personality. So she never became an official player for putting, even though she was briefly known as the putt-putt prodigy. But here's why she left her job there that she briefly had was like, get a free ice cream cone or hot dog if you had five holes in one. And again, they had a way to, it wasn't like they were just giving them to anybody. I think you had to register some. I don't know. That's funny. I forget how they checked that. But if you got the course record, you would get a pan pizza at the House of Za. And then if you beat the course record or tied the course record, you got another pizza. So we ate a lot at the House of Za. Because my sister maintained that record or tied her record after she had established it, beat it twice, improved on it, I guess. But anyway, I dropped a hole. I got a three on this hole, and I dropped down. And in comparison to what's going to follow later on, I'll tell you that the next few holes were uneventful. I maintained my course. My anticipation did start to build that topping my sister's record was in sight. I stayed one stroke up on her until we got to the 17th hole. Now, the 17th hole, I'll just tell you about the logistics of Fair Glen. How do I describe it? A glen is, my understanding, is like a area carved out by a creek or stream or river. And that's exactly what this is. You parked in a parking lot up above the glen, and then you went downstairs or a path, asphalt path, that wound down into the glen. And there was a hut or a building that looked like a hut, or with an A-frame building, I guess I'd say, where you could pay on one side and where you checked out on the other side, and it had a snack bar and hot dogs, ice cream, candy, sodas, few picnic tables, and then you started playing. And the first nine holes were on one side of the stream known as Fair Glen, and eight of the other holes were on the other side of the glen. Hole 18 was again on the back side of the building where you checked in, and hole 17 straddled the glen. And that's important because even though the glen was picturesque, it had trees, it had the stream up above the glen on that side. You know, the stream came from another direction where houses were and stuff like that. And we actually, I don't even remember if we ever wandered down that way. But on this side, right behind hole 17 was a giant culvert. Because above the glen, or walling in the glen from this side, was a six-lane road. Not a highway, but a busy, busy road. Now, the cool thing was, if you were in the glen, the sounds mostly carried over your head. And the trees kind of blocked it. I mean, you'd hear horns and stuff every once in a while. But right behind hole 17, in fact, blocked by the windmill of hole 17, was this large, large culvert, and it had a huge gate in front of it, and it ran under this, six lanes of road and off into, I don't know, the unknown, or to the other side, I guess, of the road. Why did the culvert cross the road to get the creek to the other side? And, this is where, hole 17, very similar in style to the barn door hole. There is a bridge, a little bit wider. This one went over Fair Glen, but of course it had something to catch your ball that would roll it. But you tried to go over this bridge, and of course there was a windmill. This is a standard hole, I think, on a lot of golf courses, and the windmill could knock your ball off, wouldn't fall in the glen, though a lot of kids would hit it too hard, and then you lost your ball in 17, and, you know, there was a little bit of a block in the stream, and they could fish it out for you, or you could get it out, though they didn't want anybody, you weren't supposed to get it out yourself, you're supposed to holler, and they would come with their ball catcher. But that was mostly for kids, you know, that were goofing around at that point anyway, they didn't care. Okay, so you wanted to hit your ball. You wanted to miss the four arms of the windmill, or is there three? I don't know. And this windmill could either block your ball or knock it to the side. You couldn't get under those. But if you did, again, you stood a very good chance, and a better chance than the barn door hole, of getting a one, because if you hit it just the right amount, it would just fall into a hole, and it would roll, and you'd have about a 99% chance of getting a hole in one through a PVC pipe and out right by the hole. Now, if you didn't hit it in that hole, it would just drop off, and it would roll around to like a large green, you know, that also the drop off from the bridge rolled down towards. And I needed a one on this hole. My sister had gotten a one. I was confident I would get a one. And I was focused. I was ready. I had my timing down. And as I went to hit the ball, an echo and a noise came from the culvert, like a rock hitting the side of the metal of the culverts. And my ball rolled towards the windmill and actually got stuck under the thing of the windmill, which had happened before, but this came at the worst possible time because unless the ball extricated itself and somehow extricated itself towards the hole, like that would cause you to have a hole in one, I was going to get a two or a three or a four. Now, it wasn't a total disaster because of the 18th hole. I still stood a chance to get back. But it was very frustrating. And then as I paced around and raised my voice, I wondered why I had such bad luck, not just with my college scholarship essay, but with this and so many other things, you know, like with my sister and stuff. I just thought it was like some sort of bad luck or a car or something. But as I waited to see if my ball was going to pop out, or if I'd have to take another penalty stroke, and I was begging the ball, come on, come on, come on, give me a hole in one, please, 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 please. Somebody came out of the culvert. Somebody had thrown a rock at the side of it. Somebody had was laughing. Somebody from our school, somebody known as the corncob kid, Boyd, the corncob kid. And then we all said, Boyd, what are you doing in the, I can't believe this, Boyd. And Boyd just kind of laughed. Boyd was the kind of person you thought would have a piece of straw in their teeth. Even when I remember them, that's what I see. I don't think that was the case. I don't know if you'd have a piece of straw while you're wandering around inside a culvert. But that sent me back. And eventually my ball got loose and I two-putted in. And I let Boyd know that if I didn't get a negative one on this hole, which again, this was a hole which had a, was like, if you got a hole in the nose of a character with big shoes and a red nose, and that would ride around with other characters like that, you know, that loved face painting and balloon animals, and water, flowers that squirted water. So you could get it in, so there was like, you could get it in one of their two eye holes. It was a painting, you know, carved out. You got a one. If you got it in the nose, you got a negative one. If you got it in the mouth, you got a two. And then if you missed all those, and it would show you, you got a three, if for somehow you didn't get it up there. And this was just a way so they knew the balls would all get returned. And I knew I was pretty good at getting the hole in the nose, because you would also get a baby ice cream cone. They never tried to stop giving my sister and I baby ice cream cones, because she would usually get a negative one, though this time I had a stroke on her. So she had probably had gotten a negative one most of the time, but I had already made up that stroke. So all I needed to do, I think, was get a zero or one. Now I'm so caught up with the corncob kid. And I guess I just will cut to the thing because, of course, Boyd had to say something else right when I hit the ball. And I ended up with a three. I missed even the mouth, the big smiling mouth. But what can I say? I mean, it will leave me in the best light because I got to get some rest, you know. But we decided to invite Boyd over and buy some soft serve cones. But Boyd also had something to tell us, a tale. Boyd was always full of tales. Frogs in their pocket, you know. Corncob kid, you don't get a name like that without spend a lot of time outdoors getting involved in interesting adventures. So I'll tell you more about that the next time we talk. Good night, everybody. All right, this is Scoots. I just want to thank the people that recently moved over from Patreon to Supercast, to Sleep With Me Plus. And this is like the next round. I wanted to thank Janine, Catherine, and Caitlin. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. David, Jessica, and Lakeisha. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Patricia, Lindsay, and Nathan. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Steph, DJ, and Dennis. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Susan Lee and Kim, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Ian Chambray and Carla, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Chauncey Asson and Julie, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Christoph, Brenton, and Susan, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Carsey, Susan D, and Charlotte, thanks, and good night. And Amanda, Karen, and Leslie, thanks, everybody. It's probably hearing this a while after we started moving stuff. But yeah, Sleep With Me exists as a free show, paying for it's optional because of the people that take action, support the show directly at Sleep With Me Plus or on Apple Podcasts, or support the sponsors. And if you want to support the show and actually earn access to Sleep With Me Plus for free, all you have to do is join our referral program, sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer, R-E-F-E-R. And you could earn ad-free episodes of the show as you refer people. So thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all-intro episode. So that's in the all-intro all-night feed. And again, like, so much easier, like, these all-intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all-intros, I bet 200 of those are all-intros, maybe even more. And then in the story, both in the story-only episode feed and then in the all ad-free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. if you need support at supercast.com, and good night.